All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the book of John, chapter number 10. John chapter 10 this morning, we're going to start reading in the first verse. It says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up by some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep." The title of our sermon this morning is The Good Shepherd.
Amen.
That was well timed. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we love you so much, Lord. We thank you for this day and all you do for us. Lord, I pray this morning this would be a time of uplifting and encouraging, Lord, that we might grow closer to you, Lord, that we might become better servants and Christians, Lord. We just pray for all these things. This morning, Lord, I pray that you would increase, that I would decrease, and your perfect will be done. We love you, thank you, and ask you these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so we're talking about the Good Shepherd this morning. Now, we live in Fort Worth. This is north of Fort Worth where we're at right now. We don't have a lot of shepherds in Texas. What we have is cattle drivers, right? We have people that tend to cattle. We like our beef here. We like Texas Roadhouse. We like a good cheeseburger. Not that In-N-Out nonsense, but that good Whataburger stuff, you know? You get a hearty amen on that one. But we don't know what it is to be a shepherd, really. When you drive cattle, you do whatever it takes to get them where you need them to go. That's why they have a cattle prod, you know. They'll drive those things. They'll get on their horses, and they'll drive them wherever they need them to be, and they'll put them in their pens, and they'll, when they go to brand them, and they'll make sure that they can't move around and so forth. We do to cattle whatever we need for them to do. And unfortunately, sometimes we see that reflected in our leadership a little bit. You see, some of these preachers are like cattle drivers. You know, I'll get them people wherever I need them to be, bless God. It always feels better after a bless God, doesn't it? You just said it afterwards, you sound like a Disney villain or something. But if you throw that bless God in there, all of a sudden you're just a hearty old-fashioned preacher. But Jesus here talking about shepherds. He says he's the good shepherd, and he's using some terminology that maybe we're not familiar with. And we're going to talk about some of these things, but let's keep reading for a little bit this morning. In verse 3, it says, "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then Jesus said unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. He says, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep." So we're going to talk about, firstly this morning, how the good shepherd cares about the sheep. The good shepherd cares about the sheep. He cares more than the hireling. So that's a phrase you just read in your Bibles called a hireling. A hireling is somebody, it's basically a babysitter for the sheep. You hire somebody to sit with the sheep while the shepherd's taking a trip. We see it in the story of David and Goliath. David goes off to check on his brothers. His father sends him with some food and to see how they're doing. And one of the things his brother says is, "I know the naughtiness of thine heart, and you've left alone all those sheep in the wilderness," and so forth. And David, we know by reading the story that came before, he hired a hireling to watch those sheep. He was responsible and hired somebody to take care of them. But what Jesus is talking about this morning is how that man that stood in there for David and stood with his sheep because he was being paid to sort of watch them for him, he didn't care about those sheep, at least not nearly like David did. It's the difference between a parent and a babysitter. I love my kids. I would die for my kids. There's nothing I wouldn't do for my kids. But if me and Amanda wanted to go out for some night and one of the many thousands of grandparents that are around us weren't available, we might hire a babysitting service. You know, somebody who, you know, is safe and we know has checked them out. This is a fantasy world. You guys can stop shaking your heads now. I know. I said if one of the many grandparents wasn't available for some reason, which indicates that's a fantasy world, right? Because any grandparent, no matter what, they could be in the middle of open heart surgery and they said the grandbabies, he'll be fine. Go get them grandbabies. But that babysitter who came and watched Jacob and Lizzie for me in this hypothetical world, he wouldn't care about those our kids as much as we do. They would probably take good care of them. They'd feed them, they'd put them to bed, do everything we asked them to do, and they'd be very kind to them, I'm sure. They don't care about those kids like me and Amanda do, though. That's the hireling. Doesn't care like the great shepherd does. He has no true love for the shepherd, and they will abandon the sheep when trouble comes. Remember, we read about that wolf Jesus was talking about. When the wolf shows up, the hireling just runs for his own life and leaves the sheep behind. But the shepherd would fight that wolf for those sheep, like David did. He fought, what did he fight? Anybody remember? A lion and a bear. That beats a wolf any day, in my opinion. The world is unfortunately full of hirelings. It just is. It's full of people who pretend like they care. People who put on a good front, they put on a good show. This isn't just about pastors. There are pastors out there who put on a good front like they care. Their practiced and rehearsed compassion is good for business. And those people are out there. And you should be careful about that. But this is for every aspect of life. There are bosses out there who are hirelings, right? There are friends out there who are hirelings. There are people out there who pretend to care about you because they want something from you. And as soon as trouble comes, they're out the door. Nothing will show you your real friends like troubled times. However, Jesus is the good shepherd. He is the one that will never abandon you, no matter the threat that's coming. The Lord is always with you. Even in those moments where you feel completely alone, you are not truly alone. You may not have anybody to talk to. You might not have anybody to listen. You might not have anybody to see with your own eyes. But that does not change the fact that the fact of the matter is, as a born-again child of God, in that place and time where you feel the most alone, the fact is you are not. He is always there. He is the good shepherd. He's more than just a hireling. Psalm 23, what does it say? It says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." The sheep are satisfied with the love of the shepherd. When you are in a place in life where you either have or you didn't before, or you've allowed yourself to be aware of where you weren't aware before, the fact that people around you care about you. Because there are times in life where some people go through phases in life where they don't have anybody. All their family is gone, they don't have any friends, and they're alone in the world. And that's a sad fact of life. But when they do find somebody and they have friends or they have love again in their lives, that is something that they hold most precious. They appreciate that and they notice it. And it is something to be held on to. That love makes you feel satisfied. You didn't have it before and then you had it again. And you say, you know what? I've got what I need. Or perhaps a time in life where you felt like you weren't loved and nobody cared or appreciated you. And then you start to see all the people in your life and how they all really do care about you. And that feeling that you felt like you didn't have that before, and then you realize that you do, that feeling is a very satisfying feeling. I've got people that care about me. I can call on them. It's being loved like that is a satisfying feeling. And let me tell you something. As a Christian, you are always loved. And I'll go one further than that. Even people who aren't Christians are still always loved. God loves every single person born on planet Earth. You'd say, well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Well, then you're going to have to find a different religion, my friend. Because our Bible just doesn't jive with that. Every Sunday school student on the entire planet can quote to you a thought against that ideology that there is anybody ever born on planet Earth he did not love. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the people he decided to like. You know? The world. That's a pretty all-encompassing phrase, the world. God is not willing that the ones he liked should perish. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You might say, you might be able to finagle your way around that phrase, the world, in your own mind, but folks, all is all. All means all, and all is all, and all is ever will be all. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That love that Jesus shows the world when we discover it, because it was always there, but when we discover it, it's so satisfying. I remember the day that I got saved. The word satisfying fits that moment so perfectly. As a young teenage kid, I had a lot of worries. I was a very, I guess, worrisome person. I was worried about the future. I was worried about never, you know, finding love in my life. I was worried about never being able to find a career. I was worried about my grades in school and my friends. And I was worried about just everything. And I remember going into that office and being saved in that moment. And I just remember every problem I ever felt in my life. It was like it all just rolled right off my back. I couldn't be bothered. I couldn't find a worry. I would just have it in the back of my mind. I don't know. The Lord will take care of it. I didn't know much about it at the time. I was a brand new Christian, but I wanted as much of it as I could get. It was such a satisfying feeling, that satisfaction of finding the love of the Lord. Verse 2 of Psalm 23, what does it say? It says, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The good shepherd brings us to a place of peace. Those are places you take the sheep. Green pastures doesn't do anything for me. Take me to a golden corral. You know, all you can eat buffet. Let's go, baby. Green pastures is for the sheep. He leads me beside the still waters. Now, that's interesting, isn't it? Because why still waters? I find any kind of waters relaxing. As a matter of fact, if you buy a sound machine or just some sound to fall asleep to, like the sound of a waterfall or running water, like a stream or something, that's so satisfying to people, so relaxing to people that they fall asleep to it. So why still waters? Because that's where you take the sheep. Sheep are very skittish creatures. And if the waters are making too much noise, they'll run away. They'll get frightened and they'll run away. But our good shepherd, he leads us beside the still waters. They're still, they're calm, they're peaceful, they're soothing. I remember going to the one time I made the mistake of taking my family to the orchestra. And they were playing this song called Crane. And the composer of that song, he had come out and explained this song. And it was a beautiful piece of music because it started off every piece of music, every instrument in that orchestra was all playing at the same time. and it was loud, and it was, you know, there was crashing of cymbals and all kinds of roaring music. And the longer the song went on, the fewer instruments were playing. So the music got softer and it got quieter until there was one single instrument playing, and then the song was over. And what he explained to us at the beginning was that he was talking to a man who was a crane operator. And that going up into his crane was what this was like. It was like all the noise of the machines and the construction and all these different bulldozers and so forth working around him. And as he goes up into his crane, the noise of the world just starts to slowly drift away until he's up there in isolation, just him and his crane. This is prayer. That is what prayer is to the Christian. It's when we go to God, we allow Him to take us to those green pastures. Green pastures are rich and plentiful. They've got all, you got all you need in that green pasture. You got food for days in those, in that green pasture. Nothing to worry about there. And if you go by the waters, He makes sure they're still waters. They're calm. Nothing skittish. We are like the sheep. If any trouble comes along in life, we get scared, start running away. God's got to go chase us back down, bring us back. Got to be still waters for us, doesn't it? The Lord leads us beside those still waters. We get up there with the Lord, the rest of the world falls away. He says, "Thy rod and thy staff," in Psalm 23, "they comfort me." The rod and staff of a shepherd were used for correction. He used it to lead them back to the path, bring them back into the fold, where it's safe and it's calm. And our great shepherd uses his rod and his staff to correct us back to the path of righteousness. It's the same rod and staff, by the way, that comfort us in the valley of the shadow of death. They're used for correction, but that mighty staff, that one that brings us so much pain and so much punishment when we do wrong, it also comforts us in that place of the valley of the shadow of death. When there's shadows all around us and it's a scary place to be in life, we look up, that same rod, that same staff, it keeps us safe. It'll hook our neck and drag us back where we don't maybe necessarily want to be, but where we ought to be. But that same staff, it'll knock the absolute daylights out of some wolf trying to get in. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. So even Jesus has a chicken stick. All the way back in our story in John chapter 10, we're talking about this good shepherd. And what did he say? He said, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Giveth his life for the sheep. He cares enough about these sheep to die for them. You think that David thought there might be a risk? He might, there was a chance he might not survive a fight with a lion? You think David thought that perhaps there was a chance he might not survive a fight with a bear? But he went anyways, didn't he? He fought those things and it didn't. He cares enough to die for the sheep. Hebrews 13:20 says, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus Christ, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant." The great shepherd of the sheep. He's the great shepherd of the sheep because it is by his shed blood that we receive the new covenant, the new deal with God. That if we'll just accept his salvation, that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins to provide, we can have life eternal. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 says, "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Christ Jesus. It's not through us. It's through Him. But we still have victory. The Good Shepherd cares enough to die for the sheep. The Good Shepherd knows and is known by the sheep. We read earlier, didn't we? He said, the sheep know my voice and they follow me. It's such a comforting thought. The shepherd knows each one of his sheep. It said in verse 14, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. He knows each one of his sheep. He knows you so well. He knows you better than anybody ever knew you in your life. Luke chapter 12 and verse 6, Jesus says, are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthing, and not one of them is forgotten before God? That was a bird that was perhaps a source of food for people, and it was so cheap that it was barely anything at all to purchase. Nobody cared about these birds. They were sold in droves by groups of five for barely anything at all. Nobody cared about these birds. And yet, not one of them is forgotten before God. How often we feel like we're not worth anything in this world. Makes me remember that movie, It's a Wonderful Life. They get toward the middle part of that movie, and he's lost the money, and he's talking to Mr. Potter, and trying to get him to help him. And he's talking about what money he's got put back, you know, what has he got in collateral and all this kind of stuff. And all he's got is a life savings, or not a life insurance policy that, you know, the guy laughs at him and says, you're worth more dead than alive. That's when he decides to go and commit suicide. I don't know how many people catch that. A lot of people I'll talk to about that movie, they're like, that's what he was doing at the bridge? Yes, that's what he was doing at that bridge. Sometimes it can feel like we're not worth very much. Sometimes it can feel like we're not valuable to anybody. But God never forgets you. We have great value with the Lord. He valued you so much. He let His only begotten Son go and die for you. There's great value in you with the Lord. Verse 7, he goes on. He says, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Can you believe that, Dad? Every hair on top of your head is all numbered. It's like, that took me 4 seconds. I don't know what the big deal is. He says, fear not, therefore, for ye are of more value than many sparrows. In Matthew chapter 6 and verse 32, he says, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you.